AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
R&B money! We up! Thanks. Jay Valentine, we are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast,
yes,
the authority.
Is. Come on.
On all things.
Come on. Come on.
R&B.
Fix your beanie, man. When your beanie line coming out?
Man, my line of beanies is coming out soon. Everybody relax. You know what I'm saying? We've been working on this diligently. Yeah. We got an R&B singer in the house.
Songwriter. Vocal production.
Producer.
Put it together.
Performer.
Yeah.
Artiste.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Cut himself.
Yeah. Always got on some cool pants, too.
Always keep a cool pantalone. And a cool shade.
Yes, sir.
One of the most talented brothers I've ever come across, man. Please. We got him here. Kenyon Dixon, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Get out my goddamn comments asking for Kenyon Dixon. Okay?
Bro, if I had, I would be rich.
Here.
I would be rich if I had a dollar for every time somebody was like, when are you doing that?
Every time.
I see it.
But they was doing it like we don't know you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm like, you do know that's family.
Have
like,
y'all heard of a guy?
Yeah, like,
hey man, you gotta love him, man.
Like, I've been knowing him longer than you.
Trying to hit us over the head with Kenyon Dixon. If y'all was a real pod, y'all would have Kenyon Dixon wrote. I said, you know what?
Right.
Ruthless, okay. Man.
Nah, I love it though. That's real support.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The shit that we need as a independent artist
100%.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah,
or as Tyrese would say, you know, because I'm independent.
That's, indie.
Yeah, that's right there.
Yeah,
you at the right level too, with the deepness.
Yeah. Tyrese is not indie. Okay.
He got marble behind him.
He got marble.
Hey, yo, chill.
How a Transformer going to be independent?
27 behind
Fast Reese.
Oh my God.
I hear something about he independent.
He furious talking about he independent.
Oh my
Stop
God,
this
man.
Shit, man. Kenyon, we've been doing this for a long time, man.
Yes, sir.
We've been on the road together. We've been in the studio together.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he got TGT stories, too.
As you were kicking ass on stage during that tour.
Yes, sir.
Let's just throw that out there.
Appreciate you.
But you know how we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we love to go back, you know, to the beginning as we were talking our church stories before the camera came on. We're not going to tell y'all all the stuff we was talking about. Just know you church people's in trouble. Where does it all start for Kenyon Dixon, man? Where does it all start where you identify that, you know, oh shit, I got something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you say oh shit in church.
Yeah, probably not in church.
Or somebody said, that damn boy right there, boy, I'm telling you.
Man, church, man. I'm born and raised in church. Kojic kid. My mother is like still right now like a district evangelist. Like
no, she's
district.
Bro.
Like
oh yeah, yeah. She
it's serious.
Ground.
It's for real.
So it's a government in a sense.
Is it?
When you say district, it's thinking of
they
like
got
you
jurisdictions.
Know.
Yeah, no, it's,
you know what I mean? It's like Congress. Of
yes,
church.
Essentially in local government. That's
who's
what
the president
like.
Of church.
There are.
Literally, I just threw y'all a curveball.
No,
the president.
No, no. There's no one president, but there are guys who are powerful that sit on the board up top.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Bishops and
Patterson and Blake. And
Okay, you throwing
the
name.
I'm just saying it on the
Kojic
side.
Shout him out, baby. You know what I mean?
You know, I ain't Kojic no more, but that was my upbringing. But in church, my super musical family, I'm the youngest of seven in total.
Shit.
Six of us grew up in the same household. Everybody's musically inclined to some extent. Mm-hmm. My pops, guitarist, quartet singer. My mother, she sings. So, like, it started in church, for sure, man. Mm-hmm. Singing in the youth choir and, like, you know, leading songs.
When was your first solo? Or what was your first solo?
The song was, I remember the lyrics. It's like, you say that you are my sheep, why aren't you following me? I can't think of what the name of the whole song is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That was my first solo. But, you know, crazy enough, even though it started in the church and it was genetic, like, I didn't love it singing in church. It wasn't like, because I had a family full of singers.
Right.
So me being the youngest, I'm like, I don't want it. Like, singing ain't really cool like that. Like, y'all all do it. I got to find something that, you know, I can do myself that y'all can't do, because that would make me feel better. So I think I didn't really like develop that love for singing until I was able to like step back from church a little bit and start like exploring on my own. That's when I really like fell in love with music, I would say.
Do you think, like, I mean, as most of us in church, you know, it starts off as very much a requirement, like, you know, a rule of the house. This is where you will be on Tuesday.
Yeah.
This is where you 100%. Will be on Wednesday. This is where you will be on Saturday.
Yeah.
And this is where you will be on Sunday.
Yep. It was a...
And do you think that contributed to not feeling so great about it? Because it's just like... I gotta go to church, man.
Yeah, that I would say it did, man, because my parents were like, you know, they were also preachers, so they were heavily involved in the church. So my mother was like teaching Bible studies. She was teaching YPWW and YWCC, all like the little programs for, you know, and we were at choir rehearsal. Like, so I was at church like Monday through Sunday pretty much, like doing homework on the pews, sleep in the back. In the back of the church, like, you know what I mean? And so I think it was, I also grew up in a project, so very different dynamic from the church setting, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So like what was happening outside and what I was exposed to, church just wasn't cool. That was just what I knew.
Because you're from Watts too, right?
Yeah, yeah, born and raised in Jordan Downs. So like it wasn't cool necessarily, and not cool at school either. Like, school culture was a lot different. You know, like the amount of kids that were okay with talking about that they went to church is like very small, but you kind of just listening like, oh, I identify, but I'm not going to tell y'all that like this is, you know, this is my life. So I think for a long time, I would say it contributed to it, because I felt like this wasn't cool, like outside of here. Like nobody, the majority of the people around me in my daily life don't share this experience. Like, I'm seeing what they're doing. I'm seeing their parents pull up playing all of the music I want to listen to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And your parents pull up, you get in the car, and they got John P. Key on. Like, yeah, it's like, it was different. It was different culture, you know what I mean? So I think when I got the opportunity to step away from it, I was like happy because I felt like, all right, cool, now I finally get to like do what I want to do.
Find some of your
was
own.
Was your household like Kane's and Menace to Society? it's Jordal's.
They shot that. In the project. Yeah.
And he had the grandfather that was, you know.
Have you ever given any thought to where your life is going?
I know what you're doing out there, Katie.
Man, it was, again, that outside dynamic was definitely like comparable, but inside of the house, like my mother used to make us like pray as a family before we left for school in the morning. Like, I had the most Kojic parents, like you could ever have, you know what I mean? And so like, they cracked the whip in the house.
So as soon as you walked out that door.
I was a different person.
Because I've been to your projects before.
Yeah.
I don't care how much church you going to. When you walk outside, you better have some other shit on you too.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother world.
And it had to be too, because the thing about it, like, I mean, you know, like, I'm from the hood, so gang culture is, you know, what it is. Once you're, especially in like middle school, you kind of got to roll with your people because also like what's interesting and unique.
So you was
Kojic
cuz from
Kojic
Jordan down.
I'm changing my name. I'm changing all my handles. Kojic cuz. That's it, bro.
I've been known to make up names, man.
I'm rolling with that one. I'm rolling with Kojic cuz, man.
Oh, that's great.
But the unique thing about Watch is that, you know, there are like four different like main projects that share a lot of the same spaces. Like one of the high schools is Jordan High is connected to my projects. Mm-hmm. Like, so we have middle schools. Like I went to Markham for a second, and that one, you got people from every hood like going to the schools. So the crazy thing about like growing up in the hood is like when you went there, they had to know like where you were from because you had to kind of like roll with your people.
The school did.
Everybody at the school. They kind of had to know like, oh, you from this area? Because if not, you get back home, you're going to have trouble in your own neighborhood because everybody is kind of...
It was prison. It's prison.
Yeah. That's actually a good way to...
It's exactly... If you think about it, so they were preparing some of these students for what they would have to do at reception.
That's the school to prison pipeline too.
Right.
That's where it starts.
And most of us don't even think of it in those ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's literally already programming.
Yep. Literally on the yard and you stay in your corner with your people, you know what I mean? And it was just like, it was like an unspoken territorial thing because it's like, well, you're from over here. Just naturally, you don't talk to them.
That's this not where what you we eat do. Lunch. Yeah. This where you.
So wow.
Your tables. Your,
yep. Yeah. But the whole time, I'm a church kid.
Right.
So like, imagine that. I'm here like, I'm from my area. But like, it's like, I can't even listen to the music y'all listening to. And I'm over here like having to, you know, say like, this is my area, which is.
Was there anyone else, even just not even at school, but even in the Jordan Downs that went to church with y'all? Or were y'all literally the church house?
We were for sure the church house.
Yeah.
We were for sure the church house. There's also our church wasn't in the neighborhood though. So I went to church, grew up in a church called Grace Chapel on 84th and Broadway.
Okay.
And so whole different hood, by the way, that also translates gang culture is gang culture. Yeah. It don't matter where you are.
Yeah.
So also going to church over there. A lot of activity because you're in a completely different hood. So you have people from everywhere coming to church, but you got to still watch your surroundings. So like...
Oh, man, y'all crazy out here.
Bro, it's crazy, man. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
There was a church called Holy Tabernacle that was like the project church. That's the church all the gangbangers would go to on Sunday. But like you just go because you know on Sundays you're supposed to go to church. You know what I mean? So everybody...
So there was a gang... There's a gang church. Bro, Holy Tabernacle.
In every hood.
No, but that one just the name of it is like
because this one was right. This one was right on the side of the projects, like in the back streets. It was right there, so it was like, and then you know, like we talked about this off camera, but ministry and outreach then was going into the neighborhoods,
right?
And so that's how everybody knew to come to these churches. It's like, yo, if y'all ever want to come and have a different experience, this is the church over here. But see, like. We didn't need that because I was born and raised in the church already. House, so, so it's like even for the people in my neighborhood that went to church, their experience was still very different. They walk out of the church and they're back to
right. Y'all take, you know, church, what I mean? Everywhere,
yeah,
with
us,
y'all.
You in it the Monday through Sunday. Like, I couldn't even, when people say like growing up in church you couldn't listen to R&B, like, I mean, like, I would get like whoopings for listening to R&B music. Like, if my mom found CDs that we got from anybody else, I remember she found like a tape from like when the box was cracking. Like, you had the box and somebody made my sister a tape of a whole bunch of videos. My mom found that and like went crazy.
A VHS.
Bro. Oh my God. Yeah. It's a VHS tape, man. And so they were tough, but I think, you know, the underlying is always when your parents see kind of the possibility of what can be created in those type of environments, mm-hmm. they think that that's what offsets it. Let me be extremely tough on you mm-hmm. to make sure that you stay away from this because I don't want you to be anything like it. But they don't know, like, a lot of times that creates more interest because you want to know, like, what am I missing? Because it looks more fun on the outside. Like, church doesn't look fun. You just in it. So
what's the first secular? I'm sorry, bro.
No, you go.
What's the first secular record you heard? Where you was like, ah,
what's that?
I found it.
Man, you know, it's like, there's like parts to it. So I remember listening to Anita Baker at a young age because I had an older sister mm-hmm. who, by the time she got out of the house, she was already into like, because you know, Anita Baker is like, if you grew up in the church, you ease into it.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, yeah, that's easy. I thought you was going to tell me you heard Pretty Ricky.
I'm not.
It's 5 a.m. and was like, oh, I need it. She like,
hey, that's why I said it's parts to it.
Oh, I need it.
Hey, you know, but she's like, that's like church adjacent because it's soul still and it's love it song. Right, so
there.
Like,
Luther's right there. Yep. Like all of those. Yeah.
So I had a sister who, you know, that's what she was listening to. So when I would go and hang with my sister, I was able to hear like stuff like that. And then Tyrese is ironically, being from Watts, he came and did, it's like maybe like a giveaway at a Will Rogers Park. And I had to, you know, I was like probably like 12 or something, maybe even younger. And he gave away his CDs and like, you know, he performed. It was right at the gym. And that was some, like Tyrese's music, ironically, was some of the first music that I remember listening to, which was also interesting to then find out my taste in R&B once I got into it, because it was the same people. It was y'all. It was the Underdogs. It was, you know what I mean? And I was listening to Dawkins and Dawkins as a kid. I didn't even realize that that's what formed my taste in R&B music.
Yeah.
To come to find out, it was the same people that was doing, you know, those records. So, yeah, I remember a lot of his music. And I got a little, my mom gave me a little room for it because it was like, he was more visible. This somebody from the neighborhood. It seemed more inspirational than it did.
Yeah,
you're listening to secular music. Yeah. So, yeah, man. I guess I still started off kind of on the safe side of R&B, but I was dancing too. That's a whole other side
that's
to it.
That's the thing, because we church, they think that because we're from church.
This guy in his weed.
Yeah.
This guy in his weed.
They hate on the way we move and groove out here. You know what I'm saying? We'll get a video.
So was you clown dancing?
I was crumping and clown dancing. I was doing all of it, bro. That's LA culture. And I grew up, that was prime time, bro. I grew up like in the middle of like Battle Zone.
What's the guy that travels?
Is it Tommy the Clown?
Tommy the Clown.
That was like my middle school experience, bro. That's when everybody was into like clown dancing. And so that's when I got exposed to the music that was Yin Yang
Twins. They twerking everything.
So that was different. But my mom still, like, I think she kind of started accepting my interest, but it was church parents are like, if that's what you're going to do, find somebody that's basically gonna look after you because I don't want no parts of it. And that's what happened. Like, I had like basically a chaperone who was responsible for me in any space that wasn't church. And she would have to like,
and who was that?
It was my godmother, Jacqueline Sims. And she used to work at the gym in the projects in the Jordan Downs. she would see me dancing. She saw that I had, like, you know, she felt like I had more potential than the what could be cultivated in the environment, basically. I was like, I want to take you over here. She took me to a real dance studio. I started learning. But my mom, because it wasn't church, it wasn't gospel, she it was like, with. She got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, my mom didn't really, she didn't come to no shows, no, like, she was very, very strict, church, Kojic, like, they're not having it. So
she stopped down.
But she still allowed you to do it, though.
She allowed me to do it.
Yeah.
I just basically had to make sure, I don't want to say it wasn't visible, but basically like non-existent to her. You know what I mean? So.
Or that was probably framed a certain way.
Yeah.
Just so that, you know, even if she wasn't so much, you know, rooting for it.
Yeah, yeah.
She could at least respect it.
Right. Yep. She wasn't rooting against it.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's all about like optics too and perspective, because, you know, church people are like extremely judgmental. So
I've never
talked to my mom about this, mm-hmm. but I would bet that a huge part of the reason was because of what she thought other people would think. Like, are you letting your kids be out here? You know what I mean?
That's church culture. You're supposed to be the pest.
Exactly.
So to a certain degree, you are a heathen.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Just for wanting to go dance and
complete rebel. And I was cool with that. I was cool with it, man.
Early though, you was cool with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I knew like once I got my like first real taste of R&B music, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh nah, this me.
The screen
like,
was different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm not supposed to do gospel. And that's such a tricky thing, because, you know, in the church, they believe you're not even using your gift unless you are contributing to gospel. So that was also like a weird space to have to work out of, because it's like, here's something that I feel I'm like super purposeful in, and there's a lot of connectivity here, and I'm battling with having to convince myself that I should be doing it, because based on what y'all are telling me, this is something that I shouldn't even have interest in. So it was crazy dynamic, man.
It takes like, it has taken some time, and it's still taking, I think, time for church people to understand that God is not just in church.
Yeah.
And that the opportunities that that God awards you,
yeah,
they're not just in church. You know what I mean? Like the idea that this song about my life is changing my life, my family's life, the life of people who are listening to it. Mm-hmm. I'm able to see the world as a result of this song that I've written and sang with the gifts that God has given me.
Yep.
Somehow, especially back then, with the days we're talking about, that's not of God.
Yeah.
And it's a total contradiction to everything that God represents in terms of how I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, the gift was given to me for a reason, right? And so for me, like, it's always, it was a battle at first, because it was just like, I was so, I won't say beat over the head, but I was just so, it was preached into me that unless you're doing it for God,
yeah,
it means nothing.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started the Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to the Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Yeah, let's talk about
when that. Was the first, I want to know your first, like, real R&B upper level professional experience.
Man, let's see. I'll take you back to the beginning, man. My first, like, professional gig first ever, because, you know, I got into the game background singing
first.
Mm-hmm. I was singing background for DJ Quick, and it was like me, Terrace Martin. My sister was singing with me. D. Calloway on drums. It's like a big, like, LA squad. And so that was my first.
One of the,
like,
most talented people.
Oh, man. He just named.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally,
yeah,
man. That was my first, like, yeah, first. And I was, like, right out of high school. So it was also crazy because I had just decided that, like, all right, I'm going to do music for real. Like, I want to sing. So I started there, and I feel like my next gig that kind of then opened up the portal, I started singing with Tyrese. That was my first.
So you went from Quick to Tyrese?
Yeah. So, like,
Oh, yeah.
And I still, you know what I mean? I still.
He was in it.
In the interim, was still doing, like, Conga Room and, like, Cozies and, like, you know what I mean? I still did all of our, like, spots and had the proper progression to prepare me for, you know, being in that space. But, working with Tyrese, I feel like that's where that kind of started to form my real career for, like, okay, cool, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. And, like, so many experiences started there, for sure.
He's definitely, like, your number one fan.
Oh, for sure.
Like, all I used to hear is, man, this nigga Kenyon did it again, you know. He's just, you know, he's just
in that voice too,
writer.
Though.
No.
I just want to be clear.
He's a prolific writer. The nigga can sing his ass off. You know, everything that you hear me doing.
No, Tyrese has two favorite people. Him. You know his two favorite people are? One is here. The other one is Siege Monstrosity.
Monstrosity.
That's my guy. Yo, Reese loves some Siege. That's my brother, man.
Against anybody.
Y'all two? Like, if this was a sport?
Yeah.
He's picking y'all.
Picking y'all first.
As y'all are his is in the big three.
Yeah.
It's Tyrese and y'all too.
Tyrese has gotten me and Siege into arguments with people that we ain't even have nothing to do with.
What? No, he had Siege in a full beat war. I'm like
with Swiss Beats and Timbaland.
I'm like Reese, he didn't even ask for that.
Oh
but
my God,
he's the
man.
Coldest. Yeah. He's a killer.
He's the GOAT.
But I don't think he asked you to do that.
That's him, man. I for sure been thrown into some fire. Like, yo, King Yana, he'll wipe anybody in here. I'm like, bro, relax.
Here's what's crazy about you, though. It's like, you just be sitting there like, this nigga just to stop talking.
Bro.
Your face don't look like you don't want it, but because you just always cool. You're not reactive. You're just like this. I'm nice, but I just don't want to.
I don't have a setup everywhere.
To know him is to love him, man.
Yeah.
But I say that because
y'all his favorite though.
That's when I first heard about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is when he was throwing you out there like this nigga's cold.
Yes.
I was like, okay, he nice. And then was TGT right after that?
TGT was right after.
Right after,
because I worked on Open Invitation,
mm-hmm.
and then
it was when you worked on TGT.
Yep.
That I was like, you wrote a few things on.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. FYH.
Mm-hmm.
And co-wrote Hurry and Sex Never Felt Better, the single. Yeah.
FYH.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when I was like, okay, this nigga's cold.
Appreciate you, man.
No, because he pushed heavy for you to be a part of that project.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember the battles because it was a battle of where we were going to create the music. You know, Tyrese has his ideas of everything should be done here. And
his camps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was a battle of how it was going to work, which was even the story of like touring. I mean, I'll go back to the songwriting, but
mm-hmm.
to that point of being thrown into the fire, I don't know if you remember, we did a show in Detroit and I think it was the last show of the tour and we all got solos. And everybody did their solo. And after my solo, Tyrese says, we won, and starts crib walking. And I'm like, bro.
Oh, because it was then, you,
yes,
Lonnie.
Me, Lonnie, and Rick.
And Rick. I'm sorry, Rick.
So then we get backstage, and now Lonnie and Reese are in a full-blown argument, bro. Because all because Reese was like, yo, Kenyon smoked y'all. And I'm like, bro. Like, these my homies, bro. You can't just say stuff like that. And like, they were lit. Lonnie was backstage like, I'll smoke you, though. He was ready.
That's Lonnie.
Yo, that's, you know, Lonnie ready, bro. Lonnie is ready at all times.
Shout out to Lonnie.
All over a solo.
I'll smoke
great.
You, nigga.
Yeah.
That is
he
great.
He like, you don't want to see me, though. Like, Lonnie was ready for the singing battle, bro.
He was ready to battle Tyrese. Yeah. The sun came up. I would, but in all fairness, you did cook. You did.
I appreciate you, man. Shout out to my brothers.
Hey, I was like this.
It's just, you know, he just got to be extra. Like, why would you start crip walking, bro?
Hey, man.
He started crip walking. It was like, we won real loud on the mic.
I didn't think it was we because I felt he was claiming you.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
his.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was like, first of all, he's singing
all
with all of us. We're all together.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yes, Kenyon won, but that's a win, man, for all of us.
That's how I felt, man. But those sessions, yeah, we were figuring out because we started prematurely. Again, true to Tyrese, we basically had an album done before y'all even decided that y'all were working on the album as a group.
You know, I know.
So we had
Tank
a million
had a whole other song out.
He did.
Tank had shot fired.
He had shots fired out. We was in the streets, heavy.
He had other plans, yeah, man. So we were in there. We were in there working, bro. And with the FYH record, it was crazy because I think he had just played it for you. Y'all may have been at the Underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
We were at his house working on something completely different. I was working on another song for something else, and he called, like, because when I wrote the song, first did it at the crib, just first verse, hook, you know, because everybody writes. So it's like, you don't need to write a whole song. First verse, hook, he called me like, we need the second verse now. I was like, okay. So we stopped. We were doing in the session. My homie Javante was with me in that session. So he helped me with that second verse. And we just knocked it all out and sent it back. So I think that was probably that first time that you heard heard the record. You know, it only takes a little bit of something for him to go all the way. So even if everybody was like, this is a nice record, that's probably what that call was. Like, yo, you gotta, we need this right now. Everybody's right. ready to record it. Nobody probably said that they were ready to record, but you know,
man. Hey, man.
Yeah.
He's proactive.
He looked out for me, though.
He's
man.
Proactive.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta
he's
be.
Not waiting you on gotta things.
Be. Well, no, he's proactive. We gotta think of a more powerful word.
He's nuclear.
he's leading. Your Honor, leading. Oh, man. Leading the witness. Bro. When I heard that B section, I was like,
"Yeah, that's one of my favorites on the project."
Appreciate for you, sure. man. I was like, "You smashed that joint, man."
I said, "This niggas, I'll take the B sections.
I'll take the B sections."
I had a, we wanted you to when we did Hurry. You were supposed to take the verse that Reese was singing, but he snatched it and was like, "Cause that's why I had the falsetto in there."
Okay. I didn't want to do Hurry. I didn't like Hurry at first. And I think that wasn't me. I don't think it was more so much so of me not liking the record.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just at that time, Reese was just pushing every record he had. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck Hurry.
Yeah.
And fuck the other songs you brought and fuck you.
Like,
it was,
like these I are think, the songs we gonna
yeah,
do.
I yeah, think yeah, we, yeah. I was just in that space. Yeah. And then as the project started progressing, I went back and listened to it, and I was like, this shit is cold. All right, I'm recording. And it, ding,
ding, ding, boom. Yeah. Isa, like, man. That was Isa is like the genius behind that record,
who
man.
Sang who sang the demo?
So there's Isa. She has a demo version where it's just her. Then there's a version is me, C. Lacey, and Aaron Sledge.
Who sang the first verse?
First verse is Aaron Sledge.
I feel like Aaron. Yeah. Yep. It feels like Aaron.
Yep. First verse is Aaron Sledge. C. Lacey is the second verse. I was the third verse, which we were trying to have you do. And Reese was like, nah. Because he's used to me
doing
tailoring his, everything to
yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You had his formula.
I remember we were mad though. So yeah. I was like, man, I really wanted him to have that verse, man. I mean, you know, Reese don't sing a falsetto
at all.
So we lost all the falsetto. He killed it still. Yeah. But I was like, damn, man.
Your writing credits is, you know, if we could ever get that album licensed, some money waiting on both of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, man.
And then, so is that, as soon after that, you start going into like solo mode and kind of creating your own thing?
Or were you already doing that?
I was already a solo artist, man.
Like putting out music or just?
Yeah, okay. I started on MySpace, bro, and then went into like SoundCloud. A lot of my following came from SoundCloud. Like I used to do a bunch of covers and release like originals, but my first, so starting off like doing live shows outside of like the open mic stuff, me and YG, bro, we used to do shows together at the Knitting Factory all the time. Oh, you yeah, know, Knitting Factory ain't even there
yeah,
no more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so at the time you didn't know the power in that, like those hard tickets. We were like seniors in high school and like fresh out of high school as well. Mm-hmm. We were doing them Sean Healy shows where you got to sell 100 tickets
sell
and then
the
you make like
10
cents
yeah.
per yeah. ticket after that. Like it was something crazy. But we didn't, you know, we didn't know. And we were like selling these shows out because it was our homies. We just had a big following. That's just LA, you know what I mean? And I have been doing my own music since then. And so when I got into background singing, you know, at first it's the, you're excited because it's like, dang, I'm working with all these cool people, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? On the road with this person mm-hmm. and this person doing all these shows. But I was still doing my own music. So it got to a point to where like, I had to learn how to like position it when I started to realize like, nah, I really am an artist. Like this is what I want to do. And at one point when I toured, I mean, fast forward, but I was touring with Justin Timberlake in like 2018, maybe.
Can we say how you got there though?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because that's not a.
I got.
How do
yeah,
you,
yeah,
how
yeah.
do you go from?
I know
Jordan Downs.
Yeah.
To Justin Timberlake.
Sheesh.
Let's
There's
see,
a
man.
Process in there,
yeah.
And people should understand that mm-hmm. other than just thinking, oh, well, I'm gonna do what Kenyon Dixon did. Well, what
yeah.
did Kenyon
oh, no,
Dixon
a,
do? You
yeah.
know what I mean? To
yeah,
get to
man.
Those points, like this is, and how many years?
Put in.
Let's see, man. So again, starting with Quick, went to Tyrese,
Start working with TGT.
So you were singing Pitching on the Party.
I was.
That's my
bro,
shit.
We went through, you know, we went through everything.
Shit.
Man.
You were singing Pitching on the Party, that sweet the lady, man. Yeah. In a matter of months.
You know what I mean? So Tyrese was Scooter. Scooter Slash, BJ's mm-hmm. brother. Mm-hmm. Scooter was the MD. I got a call about, I mean, you know, like when you sing around the city, everybody knows. That's kind of how it worked out here. Like being at Cozy's and like mm-hmm. our different spots, Foxhole, it was like, all the MDs and the musicians that MD the artists, they're always there. So when it's time for singers, it's like, well, we know who to, you know who to call. So I got a call from Scooter, like, it was an audition for a Tyrese show, but like also not really an audition. It was like, we're rehearsing. It was for like a, it's called like the NARM convention or something. We're rehearsing for this convention. Tyrese needs some singers. Like, they're at SIR. He's like, if you can get down here, like, it's yours. I'm like, all right. So I called some singers too. Like, yo, y'all, you know, pull up. Because we know the unit. We've worked mm-hmm. together. So I go in there. After like my first show with Tyrese, most of us that were singing with him, like, didn't stay on the gig. But they were like, kept me there. Like, yo, I want you to be the one like in charge of the vocal. So I became like Tyrese's like vocal director. Like mm-hmm. at one point, I was the only singer on the road traveling with him. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like sometimes they had me working overtime, but sometimes I would like be sending out charts and breakdowns of song parts to like other singers that we're about to meet in the city at a show. Like, we got a show in Atlanta. I need two singers, but I'm the constant. So I'm going to see y'all at sound check. Here go the notes and what y'all need to know. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was doing that. After Tyrese, I got a call randomly from Onitsha to sing background with Mike Posner. Adam Blackstone was the Mike MD Posner. At the time. Mm-hmm. And so we did Ellen first with Mike Posner. Then started singing with Kelly Rowland. Like, everything just kind of started.
You remember Mike
happening.
Posner played in the league with us?
Of course.
Mike Posner, wait, listen.
It's hysterical.
We have to touch.
Oh, he ball?
No.
Mike Posner was one of the funniest teammates I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Because he did not give a fuck. Right? Because you got to think, it was the NBA Entertainment League. So you got the biggest egos possible playing basketball. But guys that can't play basketball with that same ego, right? So you're just used to that. You're like, the little nigga from Malcolm in the Middle think he gonna score. Ah, this nigga's terrible. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Whoever it is, right?
Yeah.
And I remember meeting Mike, and I hadn't put two and two together that he was the guy with the song that I liked, right? But I'm like, he's actually really a cool ass little white nigga ain't tripping off.
Yeah.
Like, Mike, you want to go? He's like, it's all right. I'm like, bro, just go in for a minute. Mm-hmm. Mike was cool as hell. He was just like the nicest dude who had no complaints about nothing. Nobody really paid him no attention, and then he went to go do arenas. And it was like,
just like,
wait,
that.
What? Wait, that you that's know, that's the same you guy. Know, that's the same guy who now, I guess, you see the shit he be doing now. Mm-hmm. He's like walking the country.
Yes, absolutely. Bro.
I haven't seen that.
The nigga's walking the country.
Yeah, it's
bro.
Polar opposite from like,
he's walking the country.
He's walking
he's
the
just,
country.
He's just living life, bro.
Like, he's walked pretty much from New York to LA.
Already?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
He wants to experience the country.
There's kind of that. But it's more why than why not.
I wouldn't do
it's
it.
It's more why than why not.
Yeah.
It's
how more, far is too far?
It's like, so what are you going to walk the whole country, man?
It's just one of those, if you've accomplished all your goals and now you're like, what else can I do? That's what it feels like.
No. No.
Got some cocaine on it. Oh,
shit.
Hey, man.
I hope not.
I hope not.
But no, man. I started.
So then Mike Posner.
Then, you know, I started working with Kelly Rowland. I toured with Kelly. And then there's like a bunch of like random one-offs. Mm-hmm. Like,
you became the go-to. You became the go-to guy.
Sang with Carl Thomas and like just the bunch of, you know, bunch of people. So in like 2016, I get a call from Kirk Franklin. Funniest call, by the way. I get a call from Kirk Franklin. He's doing his 20 years. Actually, before that, I was with Nick Jonas.
Got you.
Yeah. Right before Kelly.
Okay.
I got a call from
Hey, bro,
from
you're Nick. Going. Man. This is the range in this?
The range is crazy.
It prepared me, though.
You're singing, I think you're cooler than me. Yeah. I think, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Jealous.
You see?
Motivation.
What?
Yeah. But it was great, bro. And it was me putting every... Growing up, having all these talents didn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
It was I was starting to see why that helped, because you sing with somebody like Kelly, they decided it would look a lot better if we could minimize the singers and instead get singers who can dance. Well, guess who's the singer that can dance?
Oh, shit.
I go with Nick Jonas. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, we need...
Don't shake his head. Don't. Oh, that he's validating his bullshit, man.
He hate.
You brought me into
it. I can dance.
There's no videos of him with Ginuwine dancing.
I'll show you later.
He's singing.
We need the videos.
I'll show you later. All right.
Because that would have been your time. Keep it a buck.
He didn't want me to do all that.
Keep it a buck. Did you have one of them ambulance suits?
I'm asking you about the videos.
when they was bringing
that
nigga to life.
They made up the ambulance after I left.
Did you have an ambulance suit?
They made the ambulance up after I left.
Said, Gene, you're supposed to be coming up next.
Something happened. I think they said something happened to him.
That is that's one of the most R&B Red things I've ever seen, man.
He got the worst script. They said, I think something had happened to him.
Oh my God, bro. I'll never forget that, man. Watching that in real time after school was crazy. Yes.
That's a legendary video, bro.
That's crazy, man.
All right, so you're doing this and now you're dancing and singing.
Yeah, literally getting on all these gigs that require both. And I'm like, okay, this makes sense now. You know, because I had transitioned out of the dance world. Like, I was dancing for real. And it got to the point, this is like when dance like took a turn and you go to auditions and stuff like that, and it was now about like the who you know in the room. So you'd be wasting your time if you walk in there and you don't know nobody. Like just being good didn't do anything. So
right, that's why he stopped. You know what I mean?
Just being good wasn't enough.
You know what I mean?
Oh man. So
Put that on a t-shirt. 100% cotton. Make sure.
Oh my God. I need the videos personally, bro.
It's a song called
But I Got You.
You know what I'm saying? We're full choreography, baby.
I got you.
My choreographer, Roro. Shout out to Roro.
Hey.
You know?
He
always shouts Roro because he know everybody know Roro. They don't know about his dancing, but they know everybody know Roro.
Shout out to Akamon, who does Usher.
Come on.
Coached me for the Dream Girls audition, the dance part of it, which I killed.
Yeah.
That's on tape.
Okay. Now
the Stump the Yard audition, lose that tape.
Oh God.
Burn that file.
So hey people, we need to find Tank Stump the Yard.
Please,
audition.
For the love of God.
It's out there somewhere.
If that Edel is a career killer.
It's a career killer?
It's a career killer. Okay, so you dancing and singing.
I was dancing and singing. I auditioned for Dreamgirls, by the way, for like a part. It was like a random, this is when I was still dancing. It was like a random group that's shown when they do this like commercial in there.
Okay.
And they're singing this like Jackson 5 type song. That was also like one of my like last dance auditions. I knew like, cool, I just want to sing. But I get a call, you know, so after working on all these people, I get a call like, I want you to come and it was Kirk Franklin. Like he calls me, literally calls me like, I know who you are. It was so like anonymous. It felt like this Kirk Franklin. Like you know, I know
like
who you
Kirk
are.
Kirk calls you like Prince,
basically.
I know who you are.
Yeah, he's like I got a tour coming up in February, and I want you to come and work with me. And at the time, it was tricky because I had got a call that I would have possibly been going on this Rihanna tour. Of course, I would have loved to do that. So I'm like. But Kirk needed an answer like right away. And I'm like, oh my God. Cause if I tell you no and then this don't come through, now I don't got nothing. Right, you know what I mean? So he was like, I just need to know. And like, he ended up being like, can you let me know by this date? I was like, all right, cool. But the funny thing about Kirk is Kirk. You know what I mean? I grew up in church. Like Kirk is Michael Jackson to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kirk is like, yeah, man. So like, I promise you I'm a good person. Like, I know you know. Like, he mentioned some people that he knew I knew and was like, yeah, you can ask them about me. And I'm like on the phone cracking up because I'm like, nigga, you Kirk Franklin. Like, you don't got to pitch yourself. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going regardless, man. So I go with Kirk. I do the 20 years and one night tour. First, we do some one-offs. Gospel, different. First of all, and let me also put it out there, touring with Kirk, that's probably some of the best money I ever made in my life. Yeah. Kirk is a person, he makes, like, he's competitive when it comes to being in that space. Absolutely. And I really appreciated that because, you know, the thought is, if I go to gospel, I'm about to take some L's because y'all ain't going to pay. Like, no, Kirk was like, what you need, we good. So the other thing, though, because it's gospel, everybody's just good already. So I'm used to, like, preparation, like, send me a set list, send me. And we had a show coming up before we even started rehearsing for tour. And I was booked for that show. And I felt like that show was like the kind of like the audition. Like, let's see. Nobody had a set list. No, and I kept being like, you know, like, what songs do I need to know? And I got in the car and asked about, like, sound check. Everybody was, like, laughing. It was kind of like, oh, we don't do that. Like, we just get on stage and kill.
So gospel, like, is equivalent to the All-Star game.
Depending on who you're working with.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, like, I'm talking about at the highest level. Yeah. Like, so because, like you said, everybody's
standing next to
everybody's, they're called, already good. Yeah. These people are already... They've been going to church for Monday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So it's
perfecting their craft.
Yep. And you know, like, for me on the inside, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm in the van, like, I'm just about to walk on stage.
Right.
I don't know any of, I know how to find a part. I'm from church. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But everybody's chopping.
Yeah. So I'm like, cool, I can sing. I know how to not go down in flames, most importantly. So, like, we did that show. It was like no pressure, like, either. Kirk really knew because he told me, when Kirk called me, I was honest with him. I was like, I said, look, man, I'm an R&B singer. Like, at that point, I was already, you know what I mean, like, putting out my own music. I was like, I don't, like, I'm not gospel. So, like, if you, that's what you're looking for, I don't think I'm going to be a good fit. And Kirk was like, I'm not looking for a gospel singer, bro. He's like, I'm, like, if your heart, I could tell if your heart is in the right place. Like, he's like, I want a show.
Wow.
I want a show and a good person.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
You got all of that, and then you start really growing in your solo space.
Yeah.
Do you feel like those moments and being, you know, having those connective tissues with those artists and the support, I would imagine, from those artists really helped you start to really grow in a space of your solo space where it really started pushing the traction for you?
I think it gave me a different level of confidence and enhanced my vision because much like anybody else who's like interning or, you know, in that space, I'm literally seeing what it is I desire. So like talking about manifestation, it couldn't be more real. I'm literally standing feet from where I would like to be, you know what I mean? So, and then, you know, there are like certain things I learned from every artist that I work with JT, it was that the show business aspect of it, how to get out there and really, you know what I mean? Working with y'all, with the fellas. It's like Tyrese is the persona. With you, it's like sing, like go for it. You know what I mean? Like G is that performance aspect, how to be the ladies man. Y'all all are though. That's literally R is R&B. You know what I mean? So I've learned like something from every single person I've been on stage with. And I think that even indirectly, like being around everybody has somehow everybody's played a part in who I've become as an artist for sure. Yeah, 100%.
As you should. It's preparing you for your moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got how many projects out? Because, you know, we talked about this earlier. You got, nine projects?
Yeah, I'm like, it might be like nine. I only consider three of them albums, but the other ones were like...
I had to buy.
Yeah. Thank you for buying it.
There's a purchase. They're not just, you know...
Yeah,
just
they weren't giveaways.
They weren't giveaways. So I only consider three. I bought nine, so it was all of $9.99 at least.
Yep. Nah, that's...
What's the name of your label?
Say that again?
What's the name of your label?
The R&B You Love.
That's the name of your label, man.
Yeah,
R&B Love.
Yeah, the R&B You Love.
The R&B You Love.
That's the name of the label too.
I've officially locked it in.
The R&B You Love.
Because I knew that was the name of the album.
Yeah,
the R&B You Love. That's kind of my.
That's my. It kind of embodies everything that I do, man. Because I think I'm like a walking poster of modern R&B influenced by the R&B we love. When we talk about the R&B we love, it's really the feeling and how to experience those feelings that we got when we listen to certain stuff, when we watch certain stuff. Like, so I'm really like a student of the game at all times. And when I make my music, like my last album, and I did it with the album before that, I would put on like even videos of Anita, of Luther, of like Joe, and like, I mean, you name it, mute it, and try and recreate that feeling in the music of I'm looking at. You know what I mean? Gotcha. And that's how I knew, that's how I know when my albums are done. And when I can listen to a song and it feels like what I felt, that's why I call it the R&B You Love. Because it's literally, I think there's a formula there. And if you could tap into the formula and not be scared, it takes a little more time because everybody's exposed. There's massive exposure to something that's the opposite of what it is you're trying to create. But if you're down for the long game, which aren't, that's really what R&B is, then you know what I mean? You're cool with making it. So
R&B You Love.
R&B You Love, man.
I rock with that.
Thank
you. Do you know all of your albums offhand?
I should.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do, Jacob. I want you to name the albums, and as you name the albums, he's going to flash the album.
Okay.
Because what we got to get into is we got to get into selling this product.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's go.
So are we naming just the ones on streaming platforms?
All of them.
Okay. So I started with an EP called It Ain't Easy.
Okay. It ain't easy. This shit ain't flash. Easy.
It ain't easy. Uh-huh. Then I put out a project called Hollywood and Highland. That was like my first like LP, technically.
I like that street too. I used to love Hollywood.
Yeah. That was my first LP. From there, I went to Higher Ground.
Higher Ground.
From Higher Ground, I think I went to a project called 24. Mm-hmm. From 24, We Should Talk, I think. From We Should Talk, a few of these might be out of order, but these should be all albums.
Okay.
From We Should Talk, I did a project called R&B Kenny, which is where the moniker came from, which is, you know. After We Should Talk, after R&B Kenny, I put out a project called Niggas Get Emotional Too.
I felt that title.
Yeah.
I felt that title.
That was one of the ones, man. It was a very honest project.
Being his feeling.
Yeah.
In my feelings.
So after that, I put out Expectations. And that was during the pandemic. That's when, like, that's the project that kind of started my ascension as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
After that project, actually before Expectations, it was an EP called Switch that turned into Expectations.
Mm.
After Expectations, I dropped Closer, which is my album before the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And my latest album, The R&B Love. So I feel like that's all of them. I think so.
It'll be somebody in the comments that know about another album.
Why you didn't mention the covers album
on SoundCloud?
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. Like, countless covers.
Yeah. Well.
Like those count.
But no, we want to move your product.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC.
We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
People need to see what
that's
that
why. That's yes, why sir. We're here. Yeah, that's why we're here, man. We are here to promote the culture.
Yes, sir.
All forms of, especially when it's independent.
The real independent.
The R&B.
See, he said he don't got Marvel behind his R&B.
The real independent.
He don't got Marvel
behind
his
He don't got Vin Diesel.
Hey, Vin, I need you to say this is the greatest album you ever heard, Vin.
I feel a jingle coming.
Oh, yeah, like, listen, he got his piano and shit, man.
The pianos.
Did you bring the drums with you?
I got
$20.
Do you got it in one? Do you got it in one?
You know me, right? You know I have it in one.
Of course.
I got a stack in the house.
Man.
My wife be like, why do you have all these ones? Just in case I don't make it home.
Hey, where's the Supreme Shooter? We need that. You remember
you would have the Supreme
No.
Shooter. Yes, you would.
You had it.
I did not.
See?
I didn't. I did take it on the road.
we had a Supreme Shooter that used to shoot the ones.
Where we going?
Yeah. I know where you're going. I don't know where you're going, man.
Brother Kenyon Dixon.
Yeah. Is this the Kojic version?
all your adventures.
Yes,
songs
sir.
You weren't supposed to hear.
Yeah.
Songs you are finally now a part of. You've seen, you've heard, you've sang a lot of R&B. Sir.
Baby, grind with me.
Oh, my God.
We want to know out of all these tunes, what's your top five
in the morning?
Your top five, your top five R&B singers.
Come on, win.
R&B songs. We wanna know you are worth more than $20 on a drum. Let me know your top five. Top five. Your top five.
Yes, sir. ladies and gentlemen, walk it down, Doc.
Kenyon Dixon.
Yes, sir.
Your top five.
Man, that was a hell of an intro, bro.
I'm here every Tuesday.
They make up a new one every show,
I'm here every Tuesday.
Yeah, man.
Top five R&B singers.
Top five, bro. Anita Baker is first for me.
Your introduction.
Bro.
Your introduction.
It's a little cry that she has that just it resonates.
It's so
man.
Emotionally spiritual. Just
yes,
Jesus.
I'm going to Anita. Joe Thomas.
Why not?
Joe Thomas is a hero, man.
Man.
Yeah, you call that he's man one of by the greatest, his full bro. Name.
Crispy to this day.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Mario, bro.
Mm, come on.
Mario.
Is cool.
He really sings, bro.
I just said this on my live the other day. That Mario was the next generation's Joe.
He is the next generation.
I 100% agree with
from
that.
From that same school.
And he has that accuracy.
Same class of tone.
Yep.
Accuracy.
Yep. Joe is Joe every single time. It's crazy. I'm going Tank. I have to, bro. Because let me tell you why, bro. How what I was saying earlier about the representation that the church kids feel for us hearing you, that for a church kid, it was like, wait. I know this. It's in different contexts, and I know this.
I know this.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was an important, you were an important bridge for my generation of church kids who got into R&B. Like, hearing Slowly, that's a church song, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
of course it is.
We knew. You know what I mean? Yeah, we knew that already.
And that's I also dance.
Although I got into her later because I couldn't listen to it when it first came out, I'm going Brandy.
Your top five R&B songs.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, let's get interesting.
Top five R&B songs. Everybody's expecting me to say Return of the Mac because that's my favorite song in the world. Nigga,
get me off the couch, son.
It's just one of them.
I knew I rocked with
you. You hate it?
That song get me off the couch.
Okay.
At the R&B Money podcast.
I'm spilling a drink
Return
when that song
of the
come
Mac
on.
Is up here. Man.
I found my people.
Come on, bro.
I get so much hate for Return of the Mac. Anybody can tell you that's my number one song ever.
It's one of the most incredibly stylistic songs.
The lyric in itself. You lie to me.
You lie to me.
And the mood is exactly the same every time you hear it.
He wanted to be right, bro. He wanted to be right for her, bro. He wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to turn in his player card.
But she lied to him.
I thought about it and you lied.
She lied to him. So now?
Yeah.
Return of the Mac.
I ain't even want to have to do you like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man.
Hey. The coldest stylistic song.
That was great.
100%
ever.
100% man. I love that
tone.
Yeah.
To articulation.
Yeah. I gotta meet, bro. At some point, somewhere. Hey, Lovers and Friends. Y'all find everybody.
Man, find him.
The Lovers and Friends festival finds everyone.
Got to
find Mark Morrison. Then I believe. I will believe in what y'all brand. Hey, if y'all find, you know what?
I'll bring him out on my set.
Yes. When we do the R&B Money Music Fest. We find it, Mark.
You better believe it.
Will you sing background for him?
I'll do it.
I'm singing background with you, bro.
Please.
I wish you on that one. All right.
Let's see.
I'm going
Return of the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
This is R&B soul, but no one in the world, Anita Baker.
Mm.
It's that perfect display of how to emote properly. I listened to that song to learn how to properly convey emotion. I've literally like listened to it on repeat.
You preaching it,
and it's the second verse specifically. Like those lyrics. I can't name you many songs that have a better connection between the lyrics, emotion, and like how it's delivered. Like that's one of them records. To me, It's So Into You is also one of my.
Yeah,
I'm a feel person. The way that record feels, if I had to...
You be crying, don't you?
Bro, a little bit, bro. Not a whole bunch, and only like when I'm by myself. So. I just turned it up real loud, you know what I mean? But that song, that feels like
what
love,
that girl
bro.
Asked you on your album? You had your heart, bro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I was listening to.
Bro, I was on tour with Tamia.
Oh my God, bro.
All them dates we did every night. Yeah, I'd be out there this.
So
that song that feels like love to me. If I had to describe love in a song, that is something so pure about it. Pure about her delivery.
And simple,
but what's
really
crazy.
Like what you do to me.
Super simple. What's crazy about it though is then she collaborated with Fab, and it did not lose the emotion of the song.
It did not lose the emotion. That is a good record.
Fab may be the best R&B rap collaborator. I can't get the motherfucking word out.
With Lil Mo.
That's collaboration.
Yep.
Of all time.
Of all times.
Collaborator.
Nobody raps on R&B better than Fabulous.
I'm willing to agree with that.
Nobody.
I'm willing to agree with that, man. He understands the finesse of it.
Drake might want his fade.
Listen, and that would be a good fade.
Cole might want his fade.
Nope.
But Fabulous.
Yeah.
But Fabulous.
But where Fab wins, Drake can sing on a record. Fab strictly raps.
Yeah.
Strictly rap.
Yeah.
That is crazy to think about, man. Yeah.
Now, Drake ain't no slouch now.
I think Cole should do more because them Cole Miguel collab.
Oh yeah,
I cannot.
That Cole SZA collab that's moving right now.
I cannot argue with you, my friend. Yeah. I cannot. But only reason I give it the Fab is because of the span of time.
Yeah, it's years of
true.
It's years of it.
The span of time, he never misses.
And so into you in 2024 is still as important as it was in 98. Right. Yeah. I'm trying to choose between. I'm at a tie for this song.
Okay.
The artist, it's Faith Evans.
Mm.
I'm between Come Over and Soon As I Get Home. But that bridge on Come Over is one of the best bridges I've ever heard in R&B.
Mm. I'm going to go with
Soon As I Get Home.
Soon As I Get Home.
Either of them could win, but Faith has to be there.
That's my personal, out of those two.
Soon As I Get Home is just...
Mark Morrison, Anita, Tamia, Faith.
Okay, no, you got a five.
My fifth. How could you, Mario? That's a record. And he's singing in the bridge, all the elements of the R&B.
I made it.
Wait, you wrote it?
Yeah. Bro.
I didn't even know. Oh my God, bro.
Anytime you see somebody singing about a ghetto Kama Sutra, it's him. He's the only nigga.
That song, when we talk about the elements of R&B, and then if you try to use a modern artist, it makes sense. That song has all of the elements.
Every element.
It has the feel. It has the production. The correct chord changes. The bridge.
Yeah.
He's really singing.
Flawless record.
It's like, man.
Thank you.
Flawless record.
Yeah,
good
man.
Good job.
Shout out to my guys. The underdogs. We did that record together.
I'm an underdog stan. I feel like my sole purpose in R&B is to convince everybody that the underdogs created R&B stars. That's how I feel. Like, all of my favorite records, again, goes back to me first kind of getting hip to Dawkins.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like a lineage there and, like, a bunch of consistency. Majority of my favorite records are all underdog records. 100%.
Her jeans are serious.
I like your style.
Yeah, man.
I like what's going on today, man.
What we got for?
I feel like
man?
We got a cold jig moment.
Yeah. Come on, take him back to Jordan Downs.
I ain't saying no names. Where you at? Who you with? What you did? Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names.
Yes, sir. Oh my God, man.
That was I'm sick of this shit at the end.
Oh my God. That. That's good.
We know that he's not coming back to play for us next week. The way that he just hit the last, you know what I mean?
Just might need a raise. That's all.
You might need a raise. Need a different color envelope.
Do that funky 20 at me, go.
I ain't saying no name.
I won't be back.
That's good to me, man. That's good and churchy.
Oh, man. All right. So you know this segment, man. It's a very important segment of the show.
Okay.
It's called I Ain't Saying No Names, where you tell us a story, funny or fucked up, funny and fucked up, and the travels of Kenyon Dixon. The Coach of Crip.
The Coach of Crip. My God.
The lucky man himself. You know what I mean? Because, you know, We need to make sure that we put that in the atmosphere, man. That you win this Grammy that's coming up.
Yes, sir.
Let's get that. We're voting
for you. I'm sorry because I gotta actually relook and see the rest of the people that's in it. I'm voting for you because I am a voter.
I appreciate you.
You know
man.
What I mean? I want you to win.
I appreciate it, man.
But yeah, man, we need a story, man. I ain't saying no name story. Something
I got a
something good. I know you do. God. I know you do. Cause you know, you been there.
I tell you one, this is more so like I like this story because there's a lesson in it. There's a lesson in artists and songwriters needing to know their business and what they're getting into.
Yeah.
So my first I had signed my first pub deal. I was young. You know what I mean? Now I would know, don't sign this until you have already had records that would, you know, increase your leverage in negotiating. But you're young, the money looks like, well, this is more than I ever had. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? So sign a pub deal. I had an MDRC deal, which they don't exist anymore. My deal was percentages.
It's been mentioned.
For everybody watching,
it's been mentioned on this show.
So, you know, like, it was based on percentages.
What was your MDRC?
It was like 2.5. But
2.5 songs?
Well, 250%. As a co-writer, if I'm walking in sessions, though, and I'm only getting something out of 50% of the composition.
Mm-hmm. That's 10 songs. That's 20 songs. That's 2.5 songs. It's whatever. Yeah, yeah.
It takes a long time. A very long time. So I was like, I was in a deal and I was actually like turned off by collaborating early on because my mind was thinking,
you ain't never about to get to
250%. Right. Especially like,
I need 5 of these 50s.
Exactly. And you know, when you do sessions, like when you're just starting with like, you know, publishers, they put you in sessions, it's like five other people. So I'm sitting in the session like, man, I'm finna walk out of here with 3% and I got to get to 250. That is a lot of songs. And even like, As a writer, like young, coming up in the game at the time, even if you land a big record, you're not about to get the whole 50% of what you wrote. So I'm like, okay. So all of my money, I mean, all of my fulfillment of the contract was based on a project I had written on, and I had written a bunch of songs.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm counting. I'm like, yeah, we finna get out of here. Finna get to this next. It's actually gonna roll me over into the next option. And then, cause I only had one option in this contract. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna be good.
Niggas be doing publishing numbers like niggas be doing prison sentences.
No,
yeah,
for
so
real,
then
bro.
I got 66% on this one charge. So they're gonna let me out, you know what I mean, for good behavior.
I got time served.
That's essentially what happened.
Nigga, this is what, oh my God, this is jail talk, bro.
If a show felt like jail. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm counting. I'm literally like looking at my splits every other day to make sure that the numbers that I'm calculating are real. I'm like, okay, so this 13, this 25, I'm like, that add up. We crossed 250%, I'm sure. Finally time, turning the records. The artist went independent in the middle of that process.
Oh no.
So little did I know in my contract,
independent right?
doesn't
had
count.
Had to be a major release. Yeah. Had to be a major release.
The independent didn't count. So here I am with like
all
7, 8 records.
Yeah, all of it.
And they're like, yeah, no.
We're not counting.
None of this counts.
Go back to your cell.
Literally. That's what it felt like, bro.
So
I just remember like, bro, that had like turned me off from music. Cause I'm just like, I'm never getting out of this publishing deal. Cause you know, like when you're in it, and especially like when you're young like that, you think the only way out is if they let you out based on you fulfilling everything. Right. I'm not thinking there's no loopholes or like, so I just remember like feeling defeated. I'm like, I'm never writing another song, doing another session. Like, you know what I mean? And it just so happened that the publishing situation just kind of like resolved itself. And luckily, I was just able to get out of the deal with no real consequences. I was able to just kind of get out. I had to let go. In order to get out, I gave up a lot of publishing on songs that I had already written. That's how bad I wanted to get out of the deal. However, I was smart. I read my statements. I knew you've made all the money you're going to make already. You've made all the money you're going to make already. I knew what songs. Yeah, that made sense to give up. But that for me, man, that felt like the end of the world. And then the money had been gone. Like,
of course.
Yeah, that advance. Yeah. I'm talking about as soon as I got it, I went. First thing I did, I went to the Beverly Center, bro, brought some Gucci shoes.
You got to go to Beverly
Center. And I was young, you know what I mean?
With like, my first little chalupa, to too.
Yo, I was like,
I was by the Beverly Center. I was at Globe Tire. Yeah. You got to go by the Beverly Center.
I had 5,000 cash.
Talk about
you
it.
You mean with the bank envelope?
Uh-huh.
It's like, you want the envelope?
Yeah,
I want the envelope.
I want the envelope, take with me too.
Bruh.
I spent $40 on something.
I was like 21. I was like 21, 22. I was super young. So that money was gone. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't a lot. Like, so I just thinking like about the reality of being stuck in this deal, and if I go make some money, basically y'all still get to take it. I gotta live off of, you know what I mean? What y'all gave me that's been gone. Like, it ain't there no more. Thank God for touring, because then that's the money I could make that y'all don't touch. Yeah. So it's like, I just, it put me in a weird position, man. And it turned me off for a long time. And it took me a minute to start collaborating, especially because thinking about having to get to that 250% made me be like, man, I'm just going to write everything by myself because I don't want to have to, you know, go through that. So, yeah, that was a testament to, like, it was weird because when I talked about it after, had a whole bunch of people around me like, oh, everybody knows. Not why y'all niggas didn't tell me this? Why y'all let me just sign? Right. You know what I mean? Right. So I talk about it because I want to inform other writers and artists coming up, like, yo, know what you're getting into before just start signing stuff.
But I think the other thing that the artists and writers should be mindful of too is that there's this thing called renegotiation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wish someone would have been able to have that conversation with you before you got into the mindset of, I'm so turned off by this. Yeah. Because the truth of the matter is that the work will get you out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It may not be the work for doing those songs, that many and that, but
yeah,
if you get the record,
oof. Yeah.
That shifts everything. You know what I mean? And, you know, we spoke about Justin Timberlake earlier. Justin Timberlake was the shift for me.
Yeah.
Me writing Celebrity for NSYNC completely obliterated my whole deal. Like, it was a wrap. Like, oh, y'all think I'm going to show up for what y'all gave me for before I had Celebrity? Yeah. Y'all show rabbit ass mind.
I need more.
Yep. I need it. So either y'all gonna give me this crazy amount I want, or y'all gonna let me walk, or we gonna figure something out. But it's the success, and is what changes these deals. Like, people try to fix their situations without having success.
Very true.
Right? Most people complain about the bad deal or the bad person.
Yeah.
When they don't have more success. I don't give a fuck about who or what I dealt with early on in my career. That shit was par for the course for me. Just me personally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some people are like, oh, well, yeah, every deal ain't gonna be, it's not gonna be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially to the party that has no success yet. It's going to be lopsided.
Yeah, yeah.
Your first deal is going to be like, why would I give you more when I have to invest?
Right.
You're not going to run to the bank and say, yeah, so I want to buy this house, right? I think.
You should give me this loan.
Yeah. And I shouldn't have to pay none of it back.
Yeah, what? You sound crazy.
It's not how business works. We got to really start understanding and preaching business to people. Like, yeah, okay, you should know what you're signing 100% so that you can be at one with what that deal says.
Yeah.
Because maybe you need that opportunity. And if you don't need that opportunity, you don't have to sign it.
Yeah.
But stop saying what somebody made you sign unless they actually physically
took your hand and,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you signed it out of your own free will and you were a grown up, I don't hear that shit, man. Not me.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody can say I signed them to a bad deal because I haven't done no bad deals with no people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm saying for people who have done deals that they consider to be bad. Hey, man, if you signed under your free will, you got to deal with the consequences of that deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some shit that I was signed to that I was signed to for years. I had to work my way out of it, bro. I took a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I needed that money.
Nigga was signed to some bad shit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was signed to some good shit, but it was just... None of the shit was honored. It was just...
That's a whole nother conversation.
It just wasn't honored.
Just vibing.
Like, but it says, I'm supposed to get the... You're not going to give it
to me. Nah, facts, man. It only took... See, for me, that was my first...
Yeah.
Like, just introduced to the game and introduced to a contract.
Yeah.
So it was like... And what's crazy is the lawyer... You know you got to be careful who you have do these deals because sometimes they know who they're negotiating for and be like, this is a quick bag. Yeah.
They're friends.
100%.
Yeah.
So like, for me, it was like, to the lawyer, you know, it probably wasn't a big deal. He probably does like 15 of these every day where he's just like, yep, there go another one.
Yeah.
So like, I'm grateful for the lessons I learned from it because now I won't sign anything without understanding what I'm signing. So that's the positive in it. It made me learn everything I could. Every term, if I don't understand, I'm looking it up. I'm asking questions. Like, I want to know what this is. What does this mean? Like,
the information is available to you.
Yep.
That's the key right there. The information is available to you.
Yeah.
Right. But what sometimes isn't available to you is how you're going to pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's and real. Sometimes you have to. That is a trade-off.
Yep.
I did not want to have to move back home.
Yeah,
I didn't want to have to move back home.
Yep.
Actually, I wanted an actual bed. At the time, I had no bed. I would sleep on the floor. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, shit, I gotta do this deal, man.
Yeah.
We'll see how it works.
Yeah. That's a very real part of it.
It's a very real part of this business, bro. Yeah. So.
It takes the stories, man, like that. Like, nobody that's really in this shit don't have a story like that. You have to. Because this shit takes all
it's
you
part
got.
Of it.
Yeah.
It takes all you got.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't stop, bro.
Yeah, because
we need you in this shit.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
You are a needed voice, pen.
The R&B we love.
The R&B we love, man.
Appreciate y'all, man.
For real. Yeah.
That's good shit. I love that. The R&B you love. I need a t-shirt.
Yeah,
hey, man, we need a t-shirt.
I got some merch cracking.
I got some merch for you.
Give me that. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Give me some. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
This is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority.
Yes.
On all things
R&B,
especially the R&B you love.
Talk about it.
You're going to be doing this for a long time, my brother, and you have in no way peaked. You are going special places, man.
Yeah.
And I pray and believe that for you.
Appreciate it.
You got a home here, man.
We're waiting on the gospel album, too, like your album.
We're going to be waiting.
No, we not. Ladies and gentlemen, can y'all fix it, y'all?
Yes, sir.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMBMoney.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow.
Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.